So good to see everyone this morning. I'll kind of echo Mike's thoughts about staying for lunch today. And if we have guests here, we'd sure pray that you will stay with us for lunch. In Paul's letter to his associate Titus, he gives directions as to what to teach Christians, men, women, older and younger. And he writes in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, "Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, and to be obedient." And he says, "To be ready unto every good work." The early church was autonomous. By that, I mean that every congregation was self-governing. Each congregation serving under Christ was to have its own elders and deacons. There was no headquarters, no government known outside the local congregation. Having said that, it doesn't mean that the early church didn't cooperate in carrying out the work of the Lord. We know that much of the teaching concerning giving came about because of the taking up of funds among the Gentile churches to help the churches in Judea which were being hurt by famine. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." What Paul was saying to them, it was a cooperative effort. More was involved than what one congregation could do. And so many Gentile churches were working together to meet the needs of those saints in Judea. We know also that the Apostle Paul needed help and received help in preaching the gospel. Writing to the Philippian church, he says, "You yourselves also know, you Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." Although Philippi was the only one supporting Paul at that particular time, the implication is that God intended for all the churches to be involved in such an effort. On another occasion, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he says, "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them, that I might minister unto you." Of course, he was using terminology there. He didn't really rob anybody. He just says to the Corinthians, "You should be paying your own way, but I took funds from other churches that I might be able to share the gospel with you." It was a cooperative effort in carrying out the mission of Christ to the world. Much of the work that we do as a congregation, it is a cooperative effort with churches of Christ. We are not bound by any law. We aren't subject to any other congregation. We aren't subject to any other eldership. We are, along with other congregations of churches of Christ, striving to do God's will and to share His message everywhere. Our support is usually a small amount as compared to all that's needed, but when many congregations come together and they give even a small amount, when you put it all together, great work can be accomplished. And so, with those thoughts in mind, my purpose this morning is to remind you of many of the works that we are involved in and help support as a congregation. Every year as we establish a budget, we list items that we want to support, some items that we have to support. We have heat and we have lights in this building this morning. My purpose this morning is to talk about those things that we choose to support. In my mind, I believe this congregation is now, always has been, a wonderful example of liberation. You give and you give and you give some more. And I believe that God blesses that kind of generosity. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 declares that God loves a cheerful giver. And I believe He still loves cheerful givers. Let's think this morning about some of the works that we support. These are going to be brief overviews. I've done this before. I think it's something that needs to be done every couple of years. Maybe every year is a reminder of what we're involved in. The first items will be under the heading of missions. This will include many works outside our community and also some things in the community itself. The first I mention is In Search of the Lord's Way. It is a television program that's on each Sunday morning. Fayetteville Channel 24 at 7:30, Tulsa Channel 19 at 7:30, Dish Channel 239 at 6 on Sunday morning, DirecTV 364 at 6. Those are listed on the back of your bulletin each week. I'll give you just a little bit of the history that Search says about itself. You're probably familiar with it. In 1979, an article was published that said 50% of the people living in America received their religious teaching from television, while only 10% received theirs by attending worship on Sunday. Mack Lyon was the preacher at the Church of Christ in Wewoka, Oklahoma at that time. On Thursdays, the Wewoka Daily Times reported church attendance for all the churches on the previous Sunday. When Thursday's paper came out, the total reported church attendance was about 10% of the population of the town. The Church of Christ had the largest attendance, but it was less than 1% of the total. Mack envisioned a local television program that could reach all of those others. With no financial support, he bought airtime on the nearest TV station, KTEN Channel 10 in Ada, Oklahoma. Mack asked the elders at Wewoka for their financial support, and the generous church increased their offering to cover the $600 per week for airtime and production costs. Mack didn't want to spend precious airtime fleecing the audiences for money, which was common in religious programming in those days. He strongly believed that churches of Christ should and would finance the work of preaching the gospel in the world. That was the beginning of a worldwide television and radio ministry. The first Sunday in September 1980 was the beginning of this In Search of the Lord's Way. Requests for materials began to increase, and it soon became necessary to move Search to a larger church for a larger staff, more oversight and finances. With the encouragement of Richard Jones, the preacher at the Edmond Church of Christ, Edmond was chosen, and the program has remained under the oversight of the Edmond elders to this day. The program, of course, continues to grow. It began to be used by missionaries abroad, Mexico, Belize, India, South Korea, Africa, and other nations. When it became necessary in 2010, after 30 years as the speaker on Search, and Mack getting close to 90 years of age, he had to retire. Phil Sanders was chosen to continue the work as the full-time speaker, and In Search of the Lord's Way now appears on all 210 television markets in the United States. Search appears on nearly 150 local cable channels and on 50 radio stations. It is aired on the Pacific Broadcast Radio, a shortwave and broadcast station, four times daily. And this program goes out to more than 30,000 islands in the Pacific Rim. And of course, talks a little bit about what all Search has to offer in terms of written material and also the internet availability of Search there. And it closes by saying Search's ministry remains dedicated to its fivefold purpose: to take the way of salvation to thousands who live right among us, to light a candle in the darkness of immorality, to resist the materialism and humanism that is choking the faith and spirituality out of so many people, to restore credibility to the religion of Christ that has been diminished in many religious programs, and to tell your friends that the Church of Christ is not dead, but that it is very much alive and that we care. Of course, in the last 3 years, or 3 years or so ago, Mack Lyon passed on, but he leaves a wonderful legacy and a love for souls. Last year, we began supporting another program, a television program entitled The Truth and Love. And this program is aired on Sunday mornings at 8 on Channel 47 out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The program is a half-hour program. It's part of the evangelistic outreach of the Brown Trail Church of Christ in Bedford, Texas. This is the same congregation that sponsors the preacher training school that Casey and Bree attended. The program speaker is Robert Dobson, and it is a very good program. You can also go to their website, and you can receive all kinds of programming there as well. Third thing I mentioned this morning is the Gentry Colquhoun radio program with Bruce Potter. The program is on every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Kerm Radio. The original program started over KUOA in Siloam Springs well over 40 years ago. Ted Johnson was the speaker at that particular time. Had a number of speakers since then. Once in a while when they'd be without one, I did that as well. Bruce Potter of the Gentry Congregation is now the speaker. Bruce does an excellent job, and it is a good program to tell friends and neighbors about. Another item here that we support, World Bible School in India, and Paul Ranganathan. We've had an association with this work now that goes back to 1987. That would be for 30 years. Brother Paul, of course, has made numerous trips to Colquhoun, being here this past year. The ministry in India includes a preacher training school, a mobile medical mission, a children's home, a taxi ministry, a tract ministry, a preaching ministry, a benevolent ministry, such as providing sewing machines and other items to help people not only spiritually, but to help them make a living as well. The conversions in India now numbers into the tens of thousands. I would also point out that over these 30 years, we've also had individuals that have supported this work on an individual basis as well outside of the church budget. It is a great work for the Lord. The next thing that I mentioned is the Purdom Family Mission in Trinidad. Over the past few years, we have given one-time contributions to this work. And this year we added this work to our budget. The Purdoms lived in Springdale for many years. Michael Purdom worked as an auditor for the state of Arkansas. When he retired as an auditor for the state, he and his family decided they wanted to go into full-time mission work. And so, using personal funds and then raising funds from various churches, they made the move to Trinidad. The church at Cave Springs was the major sponsor for several years, but more recently, it is the Duluth Church of Christ in Duluth, Georgia. The Duluth elders write and say, "We are happy to be the sponsoring congregation for the Purdom family as they work in Trinidad." They work with various congregations, and Brother Michael is also an instructor at the School of Preaching there. They are doing a great work for the kingdom as they teach and preach in this part of the world. And this has really given us an opportunity to partner in an area of the world where we haven't work before. The next item I mentioned is Truth for Today World Mission School, and kind of give a little bit of what they say about themselves. Truth for Today World Mission School is Searcy, Arkansas, an organization dedicated to world evangelism. Most of you, or many of you older, will remember this name. It is directed by Eddie Clore. Eddie, of course, was a preacher and a teacher at Harding for many, many years. Experienced missionaries say that the survival and spiritual growth of congregations planted around the world, they depend upon the availability of Bible study materials. And the primary focus of Truth for Today, a monthly publication, is designed to address that need. That publication is equal to 150 pages every month, and translating offices have been established in Brazil, in China, Costa Rica, France, India, Indonesia, Italy, and Ukraine. I've had contact with this work for about 37 years, I guess it'd be going on 40, and it's certainly been good for me, enriched my life and my ministry. And the lessons are translated, as I said, into numerous languages, and the picture that is on the board there will show you what one of those publications meant to a missionary in a faraway land. Both the book itself and the Bible is well worn from use. This is a good work, preparing people and helping people to preach and teach the gospel. The next thing I mentioned is House to House and Heart to Heart. And this magazine is published as a ministry of the Jacksonville, Alabama Church of Christ. Alan Webster writes the lead articles each month, and it is a bi-monthly magazine. We've been mailing out here at the congregation, we've been mailing out 1,200 copies of the magazine for the last several years on a bi-monthly basis. The magazine, of course, contains some good articles. We have the back page that is used for advertising. We have the front page, the sidebar, that gives information about the church itself. I never never know, and none of us know, what the final result of sending them out is, but I can tell you I do hear a lot of good comments from area residents. I think it has been a very positive force in the community, and I think it is a part of us carrying out the Great Commission. The slideshow that was shown there, secondly, it features some of those articles. If you can see them, those will be the lead articles for all of the publication during this coming year. House to House, Heart to Heart also has a great website, so people have access to many more articles than from what is in print. The next thing I mention is the prison ministry of the Owosso Church of Christ. Ron Hass has been the prison minister for several years. He is in the process right now, because of age and health, of retiring from that work. Bill Dilks will be starting soon, or probably is already started, but will be doing it on his own in a few more months. From a recent report, let me share one brief letter. This is from a former prisoner that is writing to Ron. And he says, "I have great news, and I knew you would want to hear it. All my paperwork is done. The approval has been made for me to start worshiping with the Ridgecrest congregation in Midwest City. You were so right about this church, and everything has gone just the way I hoped it would. They let me know what they expected of me as a new member and what I should expect out of them. I am happy to be helping my mom, happy to have job interviews going, happy to have a good church to go to and to have someone to bounce things off of. I hope I haven't been too much of a bother, but it always makes me feel better when I know you are interested in my life and my soul. Thanks." And if you were reading that newsletter, it's posted every month out on our bulletin board, you would find just numerous prisoners that write to Ron and tell him what a difference that the ministry has made in their lives and their hope for a better life when they get back out of prison. A great work and a meaningful work, not only prisoners, but also for their families as well. The next item I mention is Gospel Tracts International. And for more than 35 years, GTI has been printing and mailing tracts to mission points around the world. Bobby Dockery, from the Baldwin, Arkansas congregation near Fayetteville. He's who got this work going all those years ago. And materials are sent to missionaries and churches in over 60 countries. Tracts and World Bible School lessons are also provided to Bible correspondence teachers for use with their ministry. Approximately 2 million tracts are printed each year at an average cost of 5 cents apiece, including the cost of paper printing and shipping. And in all, and they've kept track of this, 51 million tracts have been printed to date in a dozen different languages, many written by missionaries and native evangelists. Tracts are currently available in English, Russian, Telugu, Romanian, some names that I can't even pronounce, French, Spanish, and several African dialects. They have just recently relocated to a new building in Elkins, which gives them a lot more room to work and is close to the mailing facility. Typical of the reports which come from the mission field is this excerpt from a letter by a young Nigerian evangelist. And he writes that, "My heart is full of thanks for your help in spreading the gospel down here. The tracts and other materials I used judiciously in the work of preaching during my two-week assignment in Edo State. And with the help of your materials, 6 people obeyed the gospel and were baptized." And that is a letter, a story that can be multiplied hundreds of times over, coming from all parts of the world. The next item I mention is the Worldwide Spanish Literature Ministry. And this is located in Wichita Falls, Texas. And it kind of tells you what it does. Printing material, tracts, and other material in Spanish. The pictures on the slide are from the Iglesia de Cristo, the Church of Christ in Concepcion, Chile. I didn't get that part on there, did I? I guess I missed that. The one slide that I should have had there showed a girl holding a coloring book about Jesus, and a little boy had a copy along with a Bible class book called The People of God. These materials go to all Spanish-speaking countries. Also, I would say that the church has had a presence in Cuba for many, many years, and this literature ministry has supplied lots and lots of material to the churches in Cuba. It is a good work that's been going on for about 40 years. We've been a part of it for about 10 years. The next thing I mention is familiar to all of you, I'm sure, and it is Green Valley Bible Camp in Rogers, Arkansas. Green Valley, of course, says a lot of things, tells a lot of things about itself. It is a youth Bible camp near Rogers, Arkansas. It is directed by faithful members of Churches of Christ. The mission is to have a positive impact on the lives of young people in a setting that encourages them to get closer to God. A day camp session is held for children who have completed first grade through age 11, and an overnight camp session for children ages 11 by October 1st through high school graduation. While attendance each year varies, Green Valley Bible Camp has the capacity to serve 2,000 youth campers each summer, and the camp has been ongoing since 1965. The church at Colcord has had an association with Green Valley since close to the time it started. Many of our young people have loved the camp setting. Becky and Angie, growing up, they would have lived there, I think, had they had that choice. Casey and Bree have been counselors at Green Valley for several years. The church has had the practice over the last several years of paying for the camp fees for those campers, those who want to go. The camp is both evangelistic and it is also edifying. It is a good work for young people throughout our area. The next two items I mentioned, the campus ministries at Northeastern State University and the University of Arkansas. The campus ministry at Northeastern State is overseen by the elders of the South College Church of Christ in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. They have owned a building near the campus probably for a good 50 years now. The home provides a place for devotional study and a place for activities for student Christians. And if you look pretty close there, you might recognize someone in one of those pictures. The campus ministry at the University of Arkansas is overseen by the elders of the Mount Comfort Church of Christ. The campus ministry provides the same type of atmosphere for its students as NSU. I can tell you that Will and Angie's late husband, Brandon, when they were in college, they were both greatly influenced by the time, their time spent with the Razorbacks for Christ. Allison is involved with the group right now. Several members of that group take mission trips each summer. A college atmosphere can be a challenging time for a young person's faith. The campus ministries, they provide friendship. They provide a place to study and a place to share and strengthen faith. The Student Center at Tahlequah, they had two baptisms this past fall semester. It is a good work and it involves both evangelism and edification. Well, a little closer to home here, I throw a whole bunch of things together. Vacation Bible School, Wednesday evening Bible classes, Sunday morning Bible classes, leadership training for Christ. They all fit under that heading of edification and evangelism. We're always trying to reach people in this community. Back in 1994, after a Vacation Bible School, the decision was made to promote our Wednesday evenings by bringing in children from the community. That will be close to 23 years ago here in just a little while. I believe that we've reached a lot of children during that time. We've baptized some, but hopefully in some way we have helped a lot of young people. Sometime back, I had a funeral in Siloam Springs. One of the family members there, a woman, asked if I remembered her. She had attended here while she was little. I might have remembered the name, but I didn't recognize her. But it happens often that I will come in contact with people who have been a part of the Wednesday evening program. Our Sunday morning classes, they should be taken advantage of by all of us. You will grow, and your children will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Vacation by Bible School has been a great outreach to our community. It is, as we all know, very work intensive, but it certainly reaches a lot of children and families. Leadership Training for Christ is both evangelistic and it is edifying of building up Christians. There's a lot of Bible study and a lot of hands-on participation, and it takes a great commitment from adults and children, but we've certainly seen positive results from it in the lives of young people. One of our young people who grew up in this congregation married and moved away. She immediately got involved in the local congregation, and she was immediately put to work by the elders of that congregation. She began participating in teaching class and also in LTC and other activities. She was young, but she was ready to go to work. And part of that had to do with training that she received through LTC. Our next area of work has to do with benevolence. And for over half a century, we have helped support Hope Harbor Children's Home. Many of us still get confused and say Turley Children's Home. That's what it was known by years ago. Hope Harbor is located just outside of Claremore, Oklahoma. And the home is designed, originally it was designed and did take in orphan children, children who did not have a mother and a father. The home is now designed more to help at-risk teens and their families. The home does have a boys and girls cottage. Beyond that, though, those who live on campus, there's also an academy, a school. There is a prison ministry parent training program that is conducted by Bill Hamrick, a brother-in-law of David. There's also a counseling ministry, and this work is both evangelistic. Young people are taught the gospel, and it is benevolent. James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I've included as a last item this morning the help given to members of the church and the community. Many things are involved in this. There is a food pantry. Cindy and Cameron help take care of that. There is the ministry of meals for grieving families. There is the ministry to help those who are suffering the loss of material possessions. This past year, we helped flood victims in North Carolina and in Louisiana. There is the local ministry to those who get themselves in emergency situations, and we've helped many both in the church and the community. We have a Wednesday night ministry of preparing a meal before Bible classes, and I think many of our children benefit from this as well as adults. Our benevolent ministry is based on many things, but none greater than this. You remember what the Lord said of that scene of judgment, where the scripture says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, and then he shall sit on his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothe thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. And then of course you know the rest of that story for those who didn't act accordingly. Now that's been a brief and kind of a quick overview of our work. It doesn't include my work. It doesn't include Michael's work. That work wouldn't be possible were it not for all of you. Our goal is to be evangelistic. Our goal is to be edifying. But there's always a realization that we would not have a ministry were it not for all of you. What I've said this morning also doesn't include many activities that seem to fill up our calendar. Monthly singing at Quail Ridge, the senior banquet, a back-to-school celebration, a clothing giveaway, a family and friends day, wedding showers, baby showers, a brunch now on February the 11th, and a Thanksgiving meal for the community, and many, many other things that go on. These are not busy works. They're not busy work. All of the things that I've mentioned today, they have one overriding theme, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. That was our Lord's mission, and that is our mission in everything that we do. It is that we would go to heaven and that others will go to heaven with us as well, to seek and to save that which is lost. I thank God for this congregation, that you are always, always supportive, and in Paul's words to Titus, you are ready for every good work, and all of it is to be done to the glory of God, and to him goes all the praise. This morning I conclude by extending the Lord's invitation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our Lord gives salvation to those who will come to him. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to place your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to repent of any sin that's in your life, to confess Christ's name before others, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, and then in so doing, he gives you remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he adds you to the body of this people. And as you can see, there's a place for you and a place of work. If you need to come this morning, I pray you will as we stand and sing the invitation song.